Well, we're going to continue our series in Unstoppable in Galatians. And remember, in Unstoppable, it isn't about us being strong enough to just make it happen. Unstoppable is really related to the empowerment that God gives us through the Spirit of God, His presence with us, and the freedom that we have to live a life that is unstoppable in His kingdom and His purposes. So today we're looking at do not put aside grace. And we'll be quick today because we're going to pray over students and children and then eat together. So that is a blessing, right? So the Galatians, it's actually 2:21. I apologize, not 1:21. But Galatians 2:21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God. Paul says that as he's writing about the gospel and the good news. And he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. And so that's the whole idea here, is not to put aside the grace that God offers us. And what happens, though, if we do and when we do? And so there's like three different angles here in this chapter. One angle is when we set aside grace, there are two things can happen. And when we do not set aside grace, there's a way that we can live. And so we're looking at three different pictures that are here in Galatians chapter 2. So what can happen if we set grace aside? Let's look at Galatians 2, 1 through 10. So then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. And this is Paul writing here. I took Titus along also. I went in response to revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. So remember in chapter 1, he's referring to, you've left the truth of the gospel, you've added more to it, and this was part of it, these Jewish religious laws and ceremonies. And so Paul here is saying, look, it's not about that. And he's going back to, look, I'm making sure I'm teaching properly. I went back up to Jerusalem, and then I talked to the people and others, the apostles, and I share with them what I'm teaching. And he says, you guys have been led astray and, you know, become slaves again. You've lost your freedom that you can have in the gospel. And in verse 5, he says, we did not give in to them for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to Peter and had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. So he's saying, I've been welcomed because of the grace that God showed him on that road to Damascus that we talked about. And he's talking about here, you see, the big picture is the Jews and the Gentiles, those coming together. It was a huge break in the kingdom. And this is what's been prophesied for a long time. It's like, oh my goodness, it's like they're all welcomed at the table in Christ. So they agreed that they should go to the Gentiles and to the Jews or the circumcised. All they have asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. All right, so when you set aside grace, you see in this passage, there's this idea of legalism, where you have the right behavior but the wrong belief. You have the right behavior and the wrong belief, where you are like the right belief of the gospel, but the wrong behavior. The right behavior, but the wrong belief. And so here you see this idea of earning legalism. We all are recovering legalists, in a sense, to where we feel as if we can earn this relationship. So when you set aside grace, that is one avenue that we take, a picture of our journey, is, all right, without grace, then I do feel as if I need to earn this. And so we can get caught up in this trap of legalism, where we have to earn God's favor. We have to do more for God. Or if I don't do enough, I feel guilty because I'm not living up to what's expected. It is a motive. It is the motive that's an impure motive. It's an incorrect motive, but it is part drives us because we've set grace aside. And so it's something that we wrestle with, or can wrestle with, without grace. That we have to, it's this conveyor belt, it's this this cycle that we're on that we can't get out of, and it just robs us, and it drains us. And so, and it's not very appealing, and it's not very winsome if you are outside looking in. Like, I don't, that's not very favorable. So you have this, you know, right behavior, but wrong belief. And then in verse 11, it says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of all of them, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? All right, so Paul is having a conflict here. And the conflict is that once they sat at the table, then they got led astray by the people, the Judaizers, those he said that they're highly esteemed, but I don't care because they're not teaching the truth. They're highly esteemed Jewish leaders, and they're teaching this, that, yes, you're welcome at the table, but you Gentiles are welcome, but you have to still do these things. And so Paul is saying, but at one time you guys ate at the table, then they came in and started teaching you guys, and you guys were led astray, and these guys were leaders in the movement of God's kingdom. It's fascinating to me how we all can get tripped up with what is this good news? What is the gospel? What is grace? And we can get tripped up in it. And so here you see this happening in these verses is this right belief with wrong behavior, which is hypocrisy. So you have the right belief, but you have the incorrect behavior. And so what that shows is some kind of hypocrisy. I did say it last week, and I still believe it. How we live is really what we believe. So I can say I believe this and live this way, and that is hypocrisy. But really, truly, if I'm living this way, what I'm really saying is this is what I believe. And I've said it before, if I live with a lot of anxiety and I'm just stressed and I say I believe that God can provide, I'm really not believing that God can provide. So here, hypocrisy. So Paul is addressing it. And it goes back to Acts 10, where Peter has this vision, this incredible vision, or Cornelius has this vision, and Peter. And he says, you know, there's this Peter that you need to send for him. So he has some men go send for Peter. In a nutshell, Peter has this vision of this sheet coming down, and all these animals of different varieties are on the sheet. And it says, you know, eat from them. And then he has this vision of like, well, I can't eat from all of them. I've never eaten from all of them based on my past and, you know, the ceremonies. And then he's saying they're all free. It's all free to eat. And then he sees that there's no favoritism in the kingdom. And he understands that the Gentiles and Jews are all welcomed at the table. And so he comes back and he goes to Cornelius. He says, you sent for me. And I had a vision. An angel came to me and just spoke to me like, you need to get Peter. and I had this vision at the same time, and I came back to talk to you, and then he shared with them his vision, and they all were starting to believe, and then they were filled with God's Spirit. And then that's when they realized if they're filled with Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit, we're one. So they're all welcomed at the table. So this table fellowship. And the concept of the table fellowship at that time is a sign of acceptance and approval. It wasn't just like, let's go grab a meal together. It was like, you're accepted and I approve of you. And so that's why in Mark 2:16, Jesus was eating with the sinners and tax collectors. That's why it was so controversial. They're saying, well, Jesus is accepting them and welcoming them. And they're like, wow, that's deep table fellowship. And that's, you know, and so Peter had this vision. But some of them who were learning there at that time didn't live that. And Paul was addressing that. Remember the vision that Peter had? And, you know, you all agreed that God's Spirit was in everyone, the Gentiles and the Jews, all who believed. And so they're all welcome at the table. And he was like reminding them, you're living a life of hypocrisy now. You used to eat with them, you used to fellowship, you used to approve and accept them, now you do not. And why? Why do you live this way? Because you've set aside grace. And so we know that the Holy Spirit was present in them. So this is the basis for the confrontation. Peter and others stopped having these fellowship meals with the Gentiles. And so Galatians 2:14 says they were deviating from the truth of the gospel. They were living a life of hypocrisy. They believed this and they lived this way. As we pray over students and children today, it's really my desire that they just grow in understanding the grace and goodness of Jesus and the good news of the gospel. That's it. And that we are a community full of grace, living and centered in the gospel, that we live it out. And we live out this, I guess, the third way, which is right belief with right action. That we all do not set aside grace, but we embrace it, we swim in it, and we grow in it, and that we model a life of that for them. Galatians 2:15-21. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, the life I now live in the body. And I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So he's talking about these being justified, being made right before God through grace and faith in what Jesus has done. And he says, I am crucified in Christ and now I'm made alive in Christ. So faith is an act of grace. Even faith, having faith is this act of grace. The ability to have faith is an act of grace. And faith in the work of Jesus is what justifies us before God. So we are made right before God by Christ. So again, here, justification is this gracious act of God. This is a simple way to say it, by which God declares a sinner righteous solely through faith in Christ. So it is an act of grace. It is a declaration. I declare that you are right. I declare that you are justified. I declare that you are righteous. So it's an act of declaration. You know, it's like when you see Jesus being baptized and God the Father says, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. It's solely through faith we're made right. It's an act of grace, and you're declared right. And so we just accept it. We can't earn it. And we are made right. And so we don't set aside grace. We receive the grace so that we can believe correctly and live correctly. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous or justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace. We're made right. We're whole. We have unity with God through Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So this is how we please God, is that we know that Jesus is passionate for us. He paid a price for us. And so God's pleasure for you is based only on God's performance in you, that he died for you. And so the work that Jesus has done in us and for us is what pleases him. And the works that we do are the works that he's called us to do, or the works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So we live this out, and it's all pleasing to him because it's all working. He's doing the work in us and through us. So it's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's about trusting in what God's doing and wants to do in us. There's a difference. And that then is pleasing to God. But other than that, we cannot please him. Cannot please him in my own effort, in my own strength. But pleasing him comes from realizing that we're made right because of what Jesus has done. And because we're right in him, then we're open and live and breathe him. And then we let him guide and lead us. And that's what I want us to model. That is it. This good news. I want you students to learn and to know that you cannot please God on your own. You can't earn this. This is good news, and it's through grace. And just accept that you're loved and that Jesus cares for you and trust what he's done. So that's God's pleasure. It's based on his performance. So then we, as his people, we don't discard grace. Because if we do, then we can live in the camp of, legalism. Or in hypocrisy. But if we embrace grace and we live in grace and we have this freedom and through grace, we can have right belief with right action all together, modeling this for each other and for those outside that we're engaged with and we live with. So let's pray. God, thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the hope that we have, knowing that we cannot earn it. Your love, or we cannot please you in our own efforts, but we can please you by just letting you work in us and letting you lead us, and as we just submit and yield to you. So help us do that for your name's sake. In Christ we pray. Amen.